The little spaceship that could.
Pity Slicker Sticker Picker wasn't quicker.
It's not Christmas, but war is over.
Bouquets voyages voluntarily.
Bigger pockets means bigger profits. Keep your enemies close.
Seamless.
A tweak to stymie the sneaky beaky freaks.
Community opportunity continuity.
The Hutton Mug is well used to being involved in madcap schemes to get itself distributed into new places or old places in new ways. From the original GIMP run, which required photographic evidence of mugs being deposited in such everyday receptacles as a black hole, Draxor single-handedly delivering a mug to every starport with a commodity market within 50 light-years of Sol, to Operation Hot Mist, with Chuckers delivering a mug to every single commodity market in the galaxy. "Hold my beer," said Commander Connor, as he set off on his self-imposed quest as part of his aim to move all of his goods and chattels out of the bubble across to Colonia to deliver a mug and Centauri Megajin to put in it to all 84 stops on the new Colonia Bridge, and to do it in a sidewinder. The poor man believed those advertisements that Hanky created. Come to Colonia because it's lonely. Lovely. Those of you who are experts at mental arithmetic will have spotted the problem. For the rest, we'll have a small pause while you complete the calculation. If necessary, ask a friend if you can borrow their fingers for this purpose if you run out of your own. And yes, dead meat, only for the purpose of counting. Ready? Okay. 84 stops with a ton of mugs and a ton of Megajin for each equals 168 tons of cargo. But the most you can cram into a sidewinder is 16 tons. In a similar way to Phileas Fogg, who went around the world in 80 days but did not carry all of his own luggage because he was a gentleman, Commander Connor's Passepartout was a fleet carrier come cargo ship and teabagging repository with which he replenished his sidewinder supplies. Obviously, once, of course, he'd finished glad handing the locals at each stop. It wasn't all plain sailing by any means. Both the Gagarin Gate and Polo Harbour outposts meant a 3,000 light year diversion in order to complete the tick list of stations. Tired, run down, a long way from the beaten path, these stations must have been a nice reminder of Hutton Orbital as the commander proceeded to deliver a little joy into the hearts of stations that were once important stopovers. Like old Wild West towns, once the railroad came along, have now deteriorated, and everyone in the saloon stops talking and the pianola falls silent whenever a stranger's shop comes to dock. We know that systems go into lockdown and that the market closes in those cases. For those of us who are not part of Hot Mess, we know that this can cause a problem, potentially requiring a lot of work or a lot of time to resolve the situation and reopen the markets and the bars. Well, Commander Connor was by himself and after a while decided that he needed to emulate Earthbound delivery drivers and just lob it in the general direction of the intended recipient. When this is taken to extremes, and the package is sent spinning into deep space, or is deposited in the wrong planet, or buried under a pile of rocks, this is known as delivering to Vantian. There were more adventures which you can read about in his journal, but his final delivery, after 48 hours, 4 minutes and 57 seconds, making 730 jumps, was at Jacques Station, where he docked at Pad 42. And the commander himself will be joining us for a chat about this adventure after the news.
Unlike the Hutton orbital decals, the Colonia Bridge adornments have taken a long time to arrive. Hardworking participants have not had anything external to show their partners why they had to disappear for so many hours, schlepping goods to the bridgeheads. Promises of adding new shops to the megaships, explanations of, it's overtime, love, it's worth money, or I get a coupon for a discount on my next shiny ship, held no sway, as there were no bragging rights attached. After many weeks and the conclusion of the Colonia Bridge project, these decals have finally been made available. We think that they're a bit cheeky, as what you're now doing is giving them free advertising. In other words, you're suffering from Brewer's Drop.
For the last 3 months, Hutton and the Paladin Consortium, plus allies, have been engaged in a staunch defence of the Paladin's home systems, fending off the enemy in Nabatian, LFT-37, and others. War after war has rumbled on, and the steamroller that is the alliance of mug-loving pilots has thoroughly squished all attempts by the EGU to take system control away from the oh-so-friendly Paladins. With the release of the latest political updates from the Pilots' Federation, Alvin Defer, fluffy-bellied overdog of Hutton, has placed an anticipatory order for a batch of Hutton mugs. And with nearly all systems firmly back in the slightly sweaty grip of the Paladins, well, they've been swinging their metaphorical swords for so long now, and stability having returned, it's time for some prizes. Intarius Fusion, Maestro behind the Hutton Helper and Keeper of the Roll of Honor will be breaking out his abacus, doing a few complex sums and counting up to some very big, big numbers as he identifies to top war contributors and defenders of the mug. Well, for the mug. The mug wasn't actually in danger, just the principles behind the mugs. We have also been taking nominations from Paladin HQ for pilots who have gone above, beyond, and totally over the top over the last few months. Pilots like Pavel. Pavel has been awesome. And humorous. And stuck his neck out more than once. And was in extreme danger of being detached from it with extreme prejudice. Pavel will be joined by many other names as worthy recipients of mugs over the next few weeks. A number of pilots have now gone on the offensive, and it appears that the Eggy Poos have lost control of the four of their own systems in recent weeks. Hutton, of course, are bowing out politely, as we don't do attacking, just defending. And breastplates aren't great for attacking, at least not compared with a portable gimbaled beam laser with engineered effects and a bit of huff. Or a pan wielded by Flossie. So, tally is, EGU lost a lot of wars, lost a lot of systems, lost a lot of stations. We did try contacting them for a comment, but it appears they lost the message.
Commander Vulcarius continues on his voyage of discovery, trying to find a way for new commanders to get a route which new commanders can follow. To get a strong start and plenty of travel knowledge, following the self-imposed rules of a new commander, solo, travel only by jumping. All jumps reduce distance to Colonia. Maximum one drop per system. No carriers. As Alex Zuno's partner in reducing crime, Vulcarius is well used to self-discipline, and here he has sent the second update so we can see what his progress has been.
So, what's cheaper than a Diamondback Explorer and doesn't use more time scooping than actually making the next jump? Some say it can use silent running without overheating, and that its loop of shame is quicker than decelerating properly. All I know is, it's called the Dolphin, and I have plenty of scope for building one while bound for Colonia. I spent another 10% of the bubble to scan two water worlds and arrive in HIP 95256, where Hanson Station could supply a DSS. The scans were also worth enough for a 2A frameshift drive, boosting my hauler to 31 light-year range. From here, I only need to map a few good systems to fund the Dolphin. So what did any sensible pilot do? Overdesign a route which expends most of the bubble, map 26 million in Earth-like worlds and terraformables, and buy an Asp Explorer instead. There was a minor mistake because Veach Hub in the Atten system lacked some expected modules, including the important 5A drive. Dirac Dock in the Palaeguinea system also failed me, though it could at least supply my other missing upgrades. Few places remain which may stop the 5A drive, some too far aside to reach with only a 5B. What finally worked was sorting by population and sacrificing some lesser opportunities in favour of reaching Hereshof Gateway and the Quatty system for the drive upgrade. I am at the periphery of the bubble when I have an Asp Explorer, 35 light years range, and a Pathfinder rank from the Pilots Federation. Insurance has risen to 1 million, though I also have 7 million spare, so according to this thing, I have 7 rebuys covered. Onward to Colonia, with no missions completed, no credits spent in fuel, and no turning back.
And now, fleet carrier news. Viewers in Hotbox and Hotpiss have their own programme at this point, in Welsh. Following a strike by fleet carrier bartenders, they would have staged a sit-in, but the Brewer Corporation have signally failed to provide any seating for these hard-working exchanges of goods, these pickers-up of unconsidered trifles. They've had their very own expansion. Not one of those that get one all in a tizzy, but they've been made much bigger down below. Well, we presume down below is where they keep their stash of materials, and their pouches have been made 10 times bigger. And without any need to apply to Nurse Wyeth for that special cream. After last week's assertion by Brewer where they stated that it is mandatory to be seated at all points that the carrier's moving, and if you don't watch where you're walking, that's just your own fault, they seem to have had a change of heart, probably in an attempt to let natural Darwinism assert itself, as they have now allowed the restraint field to be deactivated so that commanders can now stand before the jump complete light is illuminated, but that tray tables must still be stowed and that the toilets are out of bounds whilst the ship is in motion so that there isn't a problem with motions in the ship. Extra supplies of Velcro have been made available so that captains do not have to struggle to maintain their dignity or even eye contact whilst floating around the cockpit. An investigation has begun into Hankey's Clones R Us business after it was found to have been sneaking in a new clone every time new carrier facilities were being installed, leading to huge problems in the concourse and large queues for the canteen when they all went to lunch at the same time.
Over my shoulder goes one care, goes the old song, but in the case of Vantian recently it was both of his legs, although they weren't attached to him any longer and he had quite a lot of red on him. After 21 spontaneous showing off of just how little stock he's at and having enough money to buy for a rebuy last week, as he bought a bar, he says it's ours, but we know what that means. Ours until there's a bill that comes in or someone scuffs the furniture. You know the type. Fleet carrier, the hot property, live on air, buyer's remorse set in. And he thought he better refill his coffers. Always quick to volunteer, a very own Flossie agreed to come to the Disaster Magnet on his quest to undergo dangerous missions on foot, which should have sounded warning bells already. He's got previous for trying to use his legs when he's not wearing a spacesuit, and deciding that after his dog's lead had turned him into a rather ungainly maypole, that he should inspect the ground quickly, forcefully, and painfully. So, called pacifist, Flossie had managed to arm herself with a rocket launcher, a grade 3 double engineered rocket launcher, because I like the colour. And after staring down the barrel, shouting, "How does this work?" fell in behind Vantian as he crept round the settlement looking for the bad guys. Quick, shouted a talkative trooper. This way! What the fuck was that? There was a slight pause, then a small, oh, followed by an even smaller, bugger, in a voice that sounded suspiciously like Flossie. The Flossie who was standing there, trying to hide the still-smoking rocket launcher behind her back. Sorry, is this new suit? I pressed the button for run, but I didn't have my proper glasses on. And it turns out that that was the button for fire! Deal explosive death! Vanquish your enemies! Anyone could have made the same mistake. Hilarious though the consequences were, for us, not for Vantian of course, we would encourage your listeners to follow the saying of Soul Zoo. Keep your enemies closer, keep your friends in front of you. With their willingness to shoot through things to gain their objective would mean you end up lying on the ground as a red mist closes over you. At least, that's what we think he meant to say.
Well, hasn't it been a quieter week this week in Hutton space? However, we have another war pending where we just had two. Rumour has it that the Pilots Federation have made it a lot more difficult for criminal elements to rig the markets in the last week, so we should see less volatility in the system stats. Has peace really being restored to the galaxy? More on those stories coming up. Barnard Star has managed to put on 2 points in the week. Not great, but considering the perennial squabbling going on there. Now the system is quiet, and so it's a perfect time to go in and boost some Hutton influence. The also-rans are lining up for another round of bickering, but there is a window of maybe a day to make a difference. In the high 30s, we find Avik on 37, still recovering from winning two wars against Sirius and recovering from an outbreak. And poor little Avik is pending war again with Sirius Corporation. Do those idiots not learn? Aren't two kickings in a month not enough? Don't write in, it's just for fun. The war starts tomorrow. Joining Avik on 37 is Ross 671, which just needs a bit of truckly love and influence boosting. We have an outbreak in Epsilon Eridani, so there's a trade opportunity in the shipping of medicines into the three stations equipped with large pads. No excuses, folks, relieve the outbreak. Last week's expansion led us into the LHS 1387 system. We're in a war there with a player faction, Falcon's Nest, whose motto in Italian is Earth, the cradle of humanity, but you cannot live in a cradle forever. Unfortunately, because Italian is such a dead language in 3308, it confused our auto-translate module into translating Cula, for cradle, as arsehole. So no wonder they were so keen to leave. Anyway, I digress. Falcon's Nest has only one active commander, so it shouldn't take as long to lose to them. Having said that, we're winning 1-0, so help him out and start losing, you truckers. The system is firmly in the grip of a third player faction, the Turkish Elite Force, and whilst two can be company, three is definitely a crowd. The push for control of Wolf 562 continues with Hutton within a striking distance of only 5 points behind Wolf 562 Major Inc., the controlling faction, who are on only 36%. Let's maintain the effort, people. It's within reach and only a matter of time. At the overachieving end of the Hutton Systems table, we have five systems above 60%, two of which are over 70, and one of those is on 80. And, after shrugging off a terrorist attack, what did you shoot at them? Golden railgun rounds? Remember, peeps, don't boost or dump data into systems that are above 60%, or we just waste an expansion and waste time and effort withdrawing, just like we're doing in LHS 1387. But, we're expanding again. Priorities this week are, if you want to truck something, relieve the outbreak in Epsilon Eridani, boost influence in Barnard Star and Ross 671. If you want to shoot something, fight off Sirius in Avik and lose the war in LHS 1387.
Get-togethers and getting away from it all are the watchwords of our community's events. And here at the original home of the Community Events Diary, we know the Pilots Federation are going to have something working one of these days, but we don't think it'll be a patch on our treatment. We've heard about all the clouds in the sky, the Magellan Experience, the Nexus Exploration, Omega Phase 2, does the sun still rise in the east, buckyball races and the aquarium job, a reminder of Bobby Burns bonkers send-off, explore the core infernal expedition, and the Lost Souls Expedition 3. Links will of course be posted in Twitch chat and also in the description of the YouTube upload. Commander Diluvian's expedition All the Clouds in the Sky are enjoying their refitted fleet carrier, the Zodiac, but her ship needs a crew, and that crew must be found and engaged.
Balant. Back to civilization, at least for a little while. The system is packed with fleet carriers. Clearly, the Brewers Corporation offer was irresistible. The crew quickly spread, attending to their own important matters. The goal for me and the most trusted and experienced crew members, Ellen Tarr and my exo, Elroy Santiago, was not only to procure necessary upgrades, but more importantly, hire the most effective crew to man those posts. Why, oh why, after centuries of evolution, is a local tavern still the best place to hire the perfect crew? Well, that's a rhetorical question and one I would not even dream of trying to answer. Laplace seemed to be the perfect spot. Indeed, after a few hours and a couple of drinks, we finalised deals with our new biological officer, Israel Cunningham, and pioneer supplies handler, Lon Dawson. It must have been around 8 p.m. when I realised that Elroy just froze, staring at something in the distance. "Bartender, shift change," he mumbled finally. I turned round and saw her. Confident and beautiful, she was moving from customer to customer, serving beverages and occasionally making deals for very hot, but not necessarily legal, items. I wasn't going to wait until somebody else did it. I approached the bar, and looking straight into her eyes, I bluntly said, "Stellar travels. 1,750,000 credits a week. We leave as soon as we can." She looked at me and said slowly,
"That's not much above average pay. What's your name, sailor?"
"Diluvian. Diluvian Ray's Cruise," I said.
"Diluvian. The same one?"
She looked at me and seemed a little surprised. "Pretty much so," I responded. She nodded and offered a handshake.
"Tamia Stout,"
she said, smiling gently.
"You just got yourself a deal, Commander."
I bowed my head. "All right, then. Pack all you need and be at LHL-31Z Zodiac no later than tomorrow, 5 p.m. Sol time. We are anchored at Balante BA Belt."
"Roger that,"
she answered. I came back to the table and announced that the crew was complete. "How the hell did you pull that off?" Elroy was clearly shocked. "I guess we were just meant to meet." I smiled mysteriously and walked towards the elevators.
Commander Richard Fluvenez M has submitted his final report from the Magellan Experience.
Last Tuesday, technically yesterday, marked the original final day of the journey. There are people still to this day flying in within the extended deadline alongside the Lockhart and the extended warranty, so that wasn't the end for everyone. The Limpet plotted its final course into W. Ursae Majoris for Waypoint 24, which marks the end of the journey for us. We appreciate everyone who came along. For those who are still out there who use the added time, take your time and feel free to reach out to Richard, chaotically, Phil, or myself if you need even more time to add it to make it around the final few waypoints to get credit for completion. At the end of the day, it's just a game and we have the ability to add more time as needed on EDSM. Thank you for coming along on this journey and for Hutton Orbital for covering us. Currently, the Limpet has returned to the bubble over to the nearest admin system to install the new services such as Vista Genomics and a bar. As always, the Hutton Orbital listeners have a choice in their expeditions, and we're glad they choose not only to fly with us, but to cover us. You're always welcome back here anytime just to hang out or to join us on a new adventure.
Members of the Gary Hogan fan club have been sending in requests, but I'm reliably informed that those kinds of requests are not going to be satisfied because, well, basically, Gary Hogan is not that kind of fleet carrier, and you're no better than you should be. Commander Caboose has this update from Nexus.
Legacy of Dawn, by the time this goes live, will have safely returned to colonised space after nearly 4 months stationed out in the black. The Gary Hogan continues to prepare for account transfer and its voyage to Outpost Demolade for its year-long mission.
Commander Radium is putting another tick in the box under stages completed, as he explains. Trip Omega, Titan Contractor's latest expedition trip, closes in on the end of its second phase, with three more phases to go. Since our last update, four more generation ships have been explored, including Pleione, Spear of Hope, Thetis and Venusian. Additionally, extra locations such as Metron Hollow, a system combining 14 stars and three black holes called HIP-63835, and Betelgeuse have been explored. Our last two locations to be explored on the Trip Omega route are locations related to the Azimuth Saga, including Geological Survey 23B and Oaken Point. Although Phase 2 ends here on the 26th, the trip does not, and our next biggest phase, Phases 3+, will begin on the 2nd of April. Expedition Does the Sun Still Rise in the East, in the East? Is pottering along nicely, and its leader is doing his best to publicise space tourism, as he sends us this report.
Does the Sun Still Shine in the East, Week 3? Hello, Commander. The Presence here again, having safely made it to Waypoint 4, Evelyn's Distant Sanctuary, which is a lovely little spot brimming with worlds worth mapping, at least a dozen of which get Hazel from EDDI going. Highlight of the system has to be the binary Earth-like worlds, though. No lights on the dark side, mind. It's also great to be back in the galactic core region of the galaxy, as my sticker album, or codex to the ordinary commander, is lacking things from here. I have to admit, though, my rarest find was a planet with actual water geysers, vents, and fumaroles. No ice, just H2O. I've seen a few of these, but they're like a smiling Gerudo or a hairy Ptolemy. We know evidence for them is out there, but it is really hard to come across. Anywho, such was my excitement, I sent a message out over the squadron chat I use, and the next thing I know is I hear the twanging riff of a guitar, as if out of the ether. This only happens with one pilot in the galaxy I know of, Commander Silver Taffer. I turn around, and there he is. Small Troot. Inside his Remlock, how cool. Black hat, cold eyes, and a genetic sampler on his hip. Howdy, Presence. Scan those varmints whilst you were turning round, Pilgrim. He drawls in a voice as thick as mud, and he tilts his hat at me. Muchas gracias, muchacho. Gonna saddle up and hit the trail again, amigo. And to the sound of a rusty spur and another jangling guitar riff, he was off as suddenly as he appeared. He's a smashing chap, is Taffmeister. Although I have no idea why he speaks that way, as I'm pretty sure he is actually from London Borough of Barnet. Until next week, TTFN.
Those buckyball races have a great need for speed, and Alec Turner dictated this report whilst taking a particularly tight right-hander. The Aquarian Job, which is race two in the Buckyball Magic 8-Ball Championship, got off to a great start with Zgur, Alec Turner and Shea Blackwood taking an early lead thanks mostly to their SRV expertise, which really pays off in the challenging 13-kilometre long midsection of this race. However, many races have now been hindered by the unfortunate planetary alignments, obscuring their jumps from both Bridgetown and Cooper Arena. Scientists have predicted that Friday may provide the first opportunity for clear skies and some serious attempts to beat the current top times. Meanwhile, Commander Turner has decided to follow in the footsteps of buckyball legend Tannock Seldon by driving halfway around the planet, some 2,900 kilometres, to pick up a replacement ship after an unfortunate incident at Cooper Arena resulted in the destruction of his first one, leaving him stranded in his SRV. Last reports suggested that Commander Turner's SRV was behaving erratically after being airdropped large quantities of cigars and booze while still 600 kilometres from his destination. A reminder now that Team Hotbox have arranged a memorial for one of their fallen commanders. Bobby Burns Bonkers send-off will take place this Saturday, 26th of March, 2000 UTC. Mr. Venezia has this to say.
This will be a memorial service for Bobby Burns, followed by some pirate hunting in his memory. We will meet at Bonkers Station in Wolf 25. Feel free to wear and or skin your ship in pink. We will hold a memorial service, share our favourite memories of Bobby, and raise a toast in his honour. PC commanders with the Xbox app installed are welcome to join us in party. Just let one of us know, we'd be happy to have you there. Let us know if you want to come along. After the service, we'll all head to a Hazres where we can shoot up some pirates and have some laughs while shouting abuse at the hapless miscreants. It's what he would have wanted.
Explore the Core Infernal Expedition leaves on Saturday. Commander Infernal Moose tells us more.
It's time for another expedition! Since our last expedition, the Great Galactic Circumnavigation Infernal Expedition, focused on the fringes of the galaxy, this time we will explore the core. This will be a complete compact circumnavigation of the galactic core with lots of time for exploration and sightseeing. We are planning to visit some spectacular locations as well as travelling high above and below the galactic plane for stunning views. We will be travelling over 88,000 light years on this voyage over the course of about 5 weeks. We will of course plan on having many events including mass jumps, SRV, ship launch fighters, ship races and on-foot events for Odyssey players. All services are installed on D-Scan will soon be over, our fleet carrier, including all carrier concourse services, allowing everyone to take as many ships and modules as they like. We'll also be able to enjoy watching the carrier jumps from the bridge. All are welcome to join. Departure is from Gebel at 1200 UTC on Saturday, March 26th.
The Fatherhood is a long-established, well-respected faction in our galaxy, and we have news direct from them on their latest expedition, the Lost Souls Expedition 3.
After much planning and anticipation, the Fatherhood is pleased to announce the Lost Souls Expedition 3. What is the Lost Souls Expedition? Several years ago, a brave group of explorers set out from the familiar space around the bubble to set eyes on planets, phenomena, and a great many icy bodies that no one else had seen before. They navigated and mapped their way across the Formidine Rift and investigated what happened to the lost souls aboard the Zuara. A year later, invigorated by their success, the Fatherhood sent a second group of explorers and mappers to Colonia and west across the void. Lost Souls 3 aims for lofty goals. We will be travelling due west from Harjangi until there are no longer stars to jump to, then south around the Outer Arm, then back to Harjangi for drinks. Lost Souls expeditions are tailored for explorers of all abilities. Whether you're a seasoned vet or you have never left the bubble, you will have a place amongst the Lost Souls. Lost Souls 3 is expected to launch on April 3rd, 3308. If you wish to join, please register on the Fatherhood's website and then join our Discord to meet and greet your fellow travellers. For those Hutton Orbital listeners not able to come along on the ride, we'll provide regular updates of the latest shenanigans and discoveries during your weekly radio shows.
That was a long list, but I bet that's not all of the events that are going on out there. If you think we've missed one, email itookpart@huttonorbital.com and fill us in with the details.